You know, it's funny, isn't it? We log on to these virtual events, these webinars, these online conferences, all in the name of connection, right? But how often do you actually walk away feeling more connected? And how often do you just feel that familiar, dreaded, Zoom fatigue setting in? Well, today we're diving deep into an article that really resonated with us called Why You Should Think Beyond Zoom. And don't worry, this isn't just another one of those, ooh, Zoom is the worst rants, although we've all been there.
Right.
This deep dive actually gets into the nitty-gritty of what's happening in our brains during these virtual interactions, why they can be so draining, and thankfully, what we can do about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the article really hits on the fact that Zoom fatigue, this isn't just some made-up thing, you know? It's not just us being whiny. There's actually measurable physiological stuff happening.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Yeah, so studies have actually shown that when we're subjected to prolonged close-up eye contact, like what we experience on these video calls, it can trigger our amygdala.
And that is, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. That's the brain's fear center. So already we're kind of on edge. And then you combine that with the cognitive overload of trying to process all these nonverbal cues that we're missing online. And well, you've got a recipe for exhaustion.
Wow. So it really is like our brains are stuck in overdrive trying to process this unnatural way of communicating.
Exactly.
So it's not just me then. Staring at a grid of faces for an hour straight is kind of like, I don't know, some primal evolutionary throwback to when we were like assessing threats on the savannah or something. Like, no wonder I need a nap afterward. But the thing is, and I was relieved to hear the article say this too, it's not just Zoom, right? It seems like most of these video conferencing tools are kind of making the same mistakes.
Absolutely. A lot of them, they really prioritize that synchronous communication, you know, that whole everyone has to be present at the exact same time, whether it's a quick check-in or a massive brainstorming session. And that always-on mentality, it can be really, really draining.
Yeah, it's like the difference between, say, having a live phone call where you have to be there present in that second versus just shooting someone a text, you know? You can respond when it's convenient, you can take your time. But with video calls, it's like we're expected to bring that same phone call energy to every single interaction.
And it's exhausting. And then on top of that, you've got that added layer of self-awareness from, let's be honest, constantly seeing ourselves on camera.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Which, you know, it's not just a vanity thing either. It actually has a real impact on our behavior.
Oh, tell me about it. I've become way too familiar with my, like, intense listening eyebrow raise, and don't even get me started on what my hair decides to do.
But think about it, though, on that neurological level. Being in this constant state of self-monitoring, it just further increases our cognitive load, which, again, contributes to that feeling of fatigue.
And it's like if we're already feeling self-conscious and stuck in our heads, the last thing we're doing is getting up and moving around like we might in, you know, a real-life in-person meeting, which, the article argues, actually has a bigger impact on our well-being and our productivity than we might realize.
Absolutely. Even those really subtle shifts in posture, you know?
Yeah.
Like just fidgeting in our chairs, those can be surprisingly important for helping us maintain focus and engagement.
It's true. I actually remember one brainstorming session, a colleague of mine, she was practically pacing the room while we were all throwing ideas around.
Interesting.
And at the time, I'll admit, it was a little distracting. But you know what? We ended up having some of our most innovative ideas during that meeting.
I can imagine.
So maybe a little bit of that chaotic energy, those little movements, that's what we're missing online.
Yeah, it could be. And you know, it's not even just us, like as individuals, right? The tech itself could be a whole other source of fatigue. The article, they specifically called out lag, you know, that delay.
Oh my gosh.
As being super disruptive.
Yeah.
Especially during those virtual events, those big meetings.
Where
you need everyone on the same page.
It is incredibly frustrating. You know, it's like that awkward pause, that delay between when you say something and then when people actually hear it.
Right.
It just throws off the entire flow of the conversation.
For sure.
It's like trying to have a deep conversation through one of those like tin can telephones. You know what I mean?
Totally. And, you know, what happens is our brains, they're having to work overtime just to stay focused, right?
Excellent.
Despite these delays. So it's like
it's
tapping into our cognitive resources, adding to that feeling of.
Like, totally. It's like we're stuck on buffering mode or something.
Yes.
Okay. But so let's talk solutions then, because if these synchronous platforms, they're causing so much trouble, what's the alternative? And I know this is where the article brought up this idea of event anywhere. What is that?
So, Event Anywhere, they're positioning themselves as a potential solution to all these problems that we've been talking about. They're really advocating for this more, I don't know, mindful, maybe, or thoughtful approach to how we do virtual gatherings, you know? One that kind of acknowledges all these pain points, all these frustrations, and tries to design around them
I like it.
and explore alternative ways of interacting.
Okay, so color me intrigued, but I'll be honest, also a little skeptical, right? I mean, we've all seen these hype cycles around new tech, these new platforms. It's all, oh, this is going to revolutionize everything. This is going to be totally different. And then it ends up being the same issues, just with a different name, a different logo, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right to be cautious. I think it's crucial that we all kind of learn to look beyond just the marketing hype, right?
Sure.
And really think critically about, okay, are these platforms actually addressing the root causes,
We're
the
not.
underlying reasons why we're feeling this way?
Right, because just switching platforms for the sake of switching, that's not the solution. It's about finding ways to interact online that actually work with us, not against us.
Exactly. And that's where I think, and the article touches on this too, asynchronous communication, this is where it comes in.
Yes, tell me more.
Right. Imagine like platforms where you can contribute, you can share your ideas when you're at your most creative, your most focused, when you're in the flow, instead of being forced into these rigid schedules, these back-to-back-to-back meetings.
Okay, so for those of us who might be unfamiliar with this whole idea of asynchronous communication, could you break that down for us? Like, how does that actually work in practice? What does that look like?
So think of it this way. Synchronous communication, that's like that live phone call, right? You and I, we have to be present at the exact same time to communicate. Asynchronous is more like, say, email or even like a messaging app like Slack, where you can contribute your part when it's convenient for you.
Got it.
And then the conversation kind of continues. It flows naturally over time.
Okay, so instead of trying to cram everything into one single live video call, we break it down. We use different tools for different purposes, and we give people a little bit more flexibility.
Precisely. And there are actually like tools out there, tools like Loom, for example, which allows you to record videos, share them. It's a great way to convey information, but you're doing it asynchronously.
Love that.
And so people can actually like process it at their own pace. You know, they can go back, they can rewatch instead of feeling like they have to absorb everything in real time in that moment.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? We default to trying to recreate that in-person experience when really the beauty of technology is that it gives us the opportunity to create something entirely new, something better. And I think this is why I love doing these deep dives, because we can start with something that feels so familiar, so everyday, like, you know, ugh, Zoom fatigue, and we end up questioning like the whole structure of how we communicate online.
It makes you think.
It really does. So that brings us, I think, to the big question, right? What does the future hold for all of this? What's next for virtual gatherings? The authors of this article seem pretty optimistic. They actually said that they think, quote, Zoom fatigue will soon become a thing of the past. So do you share their optimism?
You know, it's always a little dangerous to try to predict the future. But I do think there are reasons to be hopeful. I mean, we're seeing this growing awareness, right, of the limitations of a lot of the tools that we're using. And I think even more importantly, there's a real desire out there to create something better,
Oh, for sure.
something that actually works for us.
So what does better even look like? When we imagine like this future, this ideal future of virtual gatherings, are we talking like holograms and, you know, VR meeting spaces? Like, paint us a picture. What are we thinking?
Honestly, I think it might be less about like the flashy technology and more about just like thoughtful design.
I like that.
You know, really shifting our mindset from just trying to replicate that in-person experience to actually creating digital spaces that prioritize human connection and well-being
I love
as
that.
like the primary goals.
But less about recreating what we already have and more about really leaning into what makes the digital world unique, what its strengths are, and building something new.
Imagine like virtual events that are specifically tailored to different learning styles,
Don't you see?
or or platforms that incorporate elements of like gamification,
wow.
interactive storytelling, things like that, or even platforms that just like seamlessly blend that synchronous and asynchronous interaction.
Ah, the best of both worlds.
Exactly, where you have the flexibility to engage in whatever way feels most natural and productive for you in that moment.
And dare we dream, maybe, a world with fewer awkward self-view moments on camera?
One can only hope.
Right.
But in all seriousness, I really do think that the most exciting advancements, they're going to come from challenging our assumptions.
Right? Totally.
Instead of asking, okay, how do we replicate the physical world in this online space?
Mm.
We need to be asking, what can we create in this virtual space that wouldn't even be possible otherwise?
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one to sit with. And that brings us back to all of you listening, right? If you're feeling that Zoom fatigue, if you're feeling burnt out by these virtual interactions, just know, first of all, you're not alone.
So now alone.
This is a real thing. But more importantly, you have the power to start shaping the future of how you interact online.
Absolutely.
Even in small ways.
Totally. It starts with just being mindful. Like, what are your needs?
Yeah.
And then exploring those tools and techniques like we were talking about
mm-hmm.
that actually help you feel more energized, more engaged.
Right. So whether that's experimenting with some of these asynchronous communication tools, setting some boundaries around your screen time, or heck, even just advocating for like better, more thoughtful virtual event design at your own workplace.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. Just remember, technology, it's supposed to serve us, not the other way around.
Well said. And who knows, maybe someday soon this whole idea of Zoom fatigue, it'll just be like a funny anecdote that we tell
right.
about the early days of virtual interaction.
I love it. Now that's a future worth striving for. Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive. It's been, as always, a pleasure to chat with you.
Likewise, always a pleasure to be here.
And to everyone listening, we'll catch you next time for another deep dive.